Give God thanks and praise for being here, for being alive and alive in Christ. I thank him for my salvation. Amen. And I thank him for all of you who are striving. Amen. And continuing in the faith. God bless you today. This morning in the family Bible study that we do in my family, we read out of Titus chapter 3. And if you have your Bible, you might want to turn to that so you can run your eyes over it as well. It was really nice. I don't remember what the title of the lesson was, but I know but what stuck out to me was the summary. And part of the question was, what is the summary of the process of salvation? So here's the verses. We're going to start from in chapter 3 of Titus, starting at verse 3. For we ourselves are also, were sometimes foolish, disobedient, and deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Amen. So going back to that question that we had in the lesson, how would you summarize the process of salvation? So, and I thought about that, and you know, as we were talking, as we came up with the answer, I kind of highlighted certain verses that kind of connects. And if you start at verse 4, you can start that. How would you summarize it? Starting at verse 4, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared. Verse 5, according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 7, being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen. And then how do you maintain this salvation? We'll go to verse 8, right? Affirm constantly that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Why? Because it's good and it's profitable. Amen. And what should you not be doing? Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions, right? And striving, Lord, because it's not profitable. Amen. And so I really appreciate that. And I looked around the table and said, does that make sense to you guys? Because I was looking at my kids and they said they were shaking their heads. And I'm like, and I thank God for that. You know, the Word of God weaves truth. And sometimes you don't have to, sometimes you can just pick up the nuggets. It's all left just like crumbs in that story of Hansel and Gretel. If you follow it, right? If you follow the crumbs, you'll get to where you need to be. Amen? And I love the Word of God for that. And I thank him for teaching us that this morning. Praise God. And the scripture is true. Hide the word in your heart. And those are nuggets that you need to hide. Amen. If you have a hymnal, if not, the brethren will pass it out. Turn to 119 so we can sing it together. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. It's one of those songs that we haven't sang in a while. Blessed Assurance. And those scriptures I read is about our blessed assurance. Amen. And that we need to sing about that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. 119, Blessed Assurance. Hopefully I got it in a key that everybody could sing it, because it's one of those songs that could go to the stratosphere. Amen. All right, E, go ahead. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, vision of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Let's do verse one again. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story,
This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Praise God. You keep playing. Amen. I just want to testify about this and now take my seat. The last time we went down to the Caribbean, to Trinidad, and we went to my mother-in-law's church, we sang this song as a congregation. We probably sang the chorus for about an hour, if not two. The church went nuts. Hallelujah! Because they were thinking about this. How blessed is this assurance that we have, that we have the confidence that we're going to see him again, that he has made this change in our soul. Glory to God. They sang it, and they sang it. My hands got tired. My throat got, but we sang it, and sang it, and sang it, that we have a blessed assurance that he is ours. Glory. He allowed us. He cleansed us. He justified us. He made us whole that we might stand before him holy. He made it possible for us to live this life. Overcome all that is wrong, all that is ill, all the sin, and to be able to live and lift our hands, holy hands. Glory to God. This blessed assurance can be yours. It can be yours. Hallelujah. You just have to listen to his word and obey. Submit. Hallelujah. Submit. Hallelujah. And you can raise your hand and say, this is my story. This is my song. Is this your song today? Praising my Savior all the day long. We're going to do it one day. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you today. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 2, verse 34. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, the Lord that Psalm 110 talks about. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Lord, bless your word today. Bless our hearts to receive the word of God today. And God, we pray for great victory in this house. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I just read to you the answer, what does it take to be converted? The answer's in Romans unto the revelation of Jesus Christ. All of those epistles are all written to a church. We read here today that Peter is standing up and answering those who have begun to gather around on the day of Pentecost while they're all being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance and magnifying God, just having a good old church time, as we would say. And Peter stood up with the 11 and began to preach and teach and explain what was going on. And when he came to this portion of scripture that we read, he said that David is not ascended into the heavens. And we're going to read this psalm in a moment. But he said himself, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool." So it's not David at the right hand of God, it's Jesus. And we are here today. I want to talk to you for a few minutes about there's so many different ways to say this, but is the word of God pricking your heart? Are you pricked? Are you stirred? Are you moved? Is it getting to you? When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. So what Peter said got through to them. I never want to get to a point in my life where I come to church and it's not getting through. Preacher or not, I want things to get through. I want testimonies to get through. I want singing and worship to get through. Praise God. I want the preached word that I'm hearing from others getting through. I want prayer getting through. Hallelujah. We talk about breaking through, but what we're really saying is, are we allowing it to get through? Praise God. Praise God. Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord. Hallelujah. Because when you get to a point in your life where you're pricked in your heart, in other words, the word of God has pierced your soul, it's gotten to you, when you can get to that place of what shall I do, then you'll hear what Peter has to say. Praise God. I've been in the presence of many people over the years where we've talked about Acts 2:38 and they have not heard it even after we read it. Even after we opened the word of God and we showed them, we tried to take them, not maliciously, but we tried to take them beyond belief, praise God, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And they could not see it. It's because they weren't pricked in their heart. If you're still sinning, loving to sin, wanting to sin, but yet claim salvation, you're not pricked. You're not moved. It's not getting through. You haven't even reached to a point of ascending unto men, brethren, what shall we do? And when we can't get to that point, when we can't become willing, we're not going to hear it. Then Peter said, when they said, what shall we do? Psalm 110, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou hast the dew of thy youth. It's fresh. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. It's all talking about the Lord Jesus. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. Praise God. It's quite a powerful seven verses. And yet Peter testified that David was speaking of the Lord. God hath made that same Jesus, the Lord, spoken about in this verse. That's what he was saying to those Jews that day. That psalm was about him. Yes. Praise God. Glory. That he fulfilled that psalm. Now, there's not as much of a mystery here as we tend to make it. But I will say this to you, that the reason Jesus is at the right hand of God is so that we can overcome the world. Amen. Praise God. And it's not like we picture it. It's not like some of us were taught when growing up. Sitting, standing, the right hand of God, it all means something. It all represents a word that was sent from the throne that accomplished some things. He said, it is finished, rose again from the grave on the third day, and is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. The reason why we read that phrase, is so that when we hear the word of God, we can say, what shall we do? And be able to do what we shall do when the answer comes. As long as Jesus is at the right hand of God, I can live for God. As long as Jesus, praise God, is filled with glory and majesty and power and is there to make intercession for us, we can overcome the world. As long as the word of God is sit at the right hand of the majesty on high, we can clap our hands in a church service. We can lift up our hands in hope. We can overcome anything. Glory. Hallelujah. And that's ultimately, in short, what it's all about. No matter how deep you try to go into it and think about the right hand of God and all of these things, this represents the mercy and the favor and the grace of God. It's not another little deity standing beside another deity. God's not a man. God is a spirit. But let's talk about this for a minute, because there's something in here that will help you today. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And when you look at what the word footstool means, we can understand foes and enemies, because that's us. We can read a verse like that and just think about the Romans, and we can think about all the other people that were all the enemies of God, but what we're really reading about is us. We were the enemies. We were the strangers. We were the foreigners. We were the outcasts, enemies in mind by wicked works. All we like sheep have gone astray, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God knew that there was a way that he could do something to cause all of his enemies to be his footstool. If we're willing. It is the day of his power. Jesus said, you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ever since he poured his spirit upon all flesh, fulfilling all the word of God, it became the day of his power. The question here is not about what God can do. The question is, are you willing to let him do it? The question is not Acts 2:38. The question is, what shall we do? Praise the Lord. Because the answers are there. The question is your willingness there? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He's done everything he needs to do. Praise God. He's exactly where he's supposed to be. He is the great mediator between God and men, right? 1 Timothy 2:5. And there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, there's no longer a man Christ Jesus. He had the days of his flesh. He did exactly what he needed to do so that we could turn around and do exactly what we need to do if we can become willing in the day of his power. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So it's not all about whether he can or not. It's whether you're willing or not. There have been more problems that can arise out of all of our lives when we become unwilling. And yet the word teaches us, if we be willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. He told that to the children of Israel. If you be willing and obedient, you'll live in blessing. But it's some about that stubborn, unwilling will of man that can cause us to miss out. I'm okay with being his footstool. I'm okay with holiness and righteousness subduing me. I'm okay with the power of God ransacking my sinful life and carrying me away captive. I'm okay with that. Yes. Hallelujah. We heard about it today. Out of the lowest of the lowest, he pulled us up. Praise God. Why? Because he's at the right hand of God, and that's what he's positioned to do. Praise God. It was already read from Titus 3 here today about his redemption and his grace and giving us the ability to live for God. When he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men and led captivity captive. That's what we read about in Ephesians chapter 4. It's all language saying that he came to fight against something, to judge something, to destroy something, and to save something. All at the same time. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why? Because not everyone's willing. The Lord said unto my Lord. The reason why we have spelling differences here because it represents the one who sent the word and the one who was sent, but not a different Lord. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, represents the Lord Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. Amen. The I am that I am. Said unto what? When we put all the word of God together, we're reading about the I am that I am that was manifest in the flesh to take away the sin of the world. Amen. The I am that I am that was manifest and was not only the eternal just God, the all-powerful, all-knowing, but the one who was manifested and put on the form of a man that he might present the man to Calvary's cross and taste death for every man. That is why we read in Acts 20, 28 that God purchased the church with his own blood. Right. Now, God is a spirit. God is not a man. But his own blood was the manifested Savior that was formed in the womb of Mary. It was his lamb. Under Mosaic law, it was the high priest of the sons of Aaron that presented the blood to the mercy seat in the holiest of all in their order of worship. I'm not here to be complicated today. I'm just here to say that there was an Ark of the Covenant, and it was part of it was wood overlaid with gold, the rest of it just beaten gold, and had the cherubims looking down upon that solid gold mercy seat where they sprinkled the blood of the sin offering once every year, and only the high priest could go in and do that after the death of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. God made sure that once, for the infirmity of himself and the people, that high priest went in. Now Jesus offered up himself being the high priest. Not for himself, he had no infirmity. But in himself, he bore our infirmities and went to Calvary's cross, being both the high priest that offered the lamb and the lamb that was offered. Amen. Praise God, because the Lord, the mighty God, the Father, was manifested as the Son. Praise the Lord, and that is the word. That's why we read, the Lord said unto my Lord, because the Lord Jehovah wanted to become our Lord Jehovah. And the only way he could do that was through the shed blood of Christ, by becoming a mediator between God and men, by offering himself without spot to God. Hey, watch, the scripture says that the soul of that man, he was willing. He became willing to offer his life up. Not my will, but thy will be done. Oh, if we can only get to not my will, some people in the church will live a whole lot happier. Hallelujah. I mean, whose foot do you want to be under? If you want to look at it like that. Now, I'm not here to say that, you know, we're under his foot as in, you know what I mean? But we are. He doesn't have physical feet. It's a representation of the word of his righteousness and the spirit of God. And we'll read something in a minute, make this a little bit more clear. But now, would you rather be under the thumb of sin or under the thumb of righteousness? And then if we say righteousness, it's not so much the feeling like we're under someone's thumb. We're delivered from the thumb we don't want to be under. Praise God. Because what God was intending when he said, sit at my right hand. What is at the right hand of God? What Stephen saw in the book of Acts was the redemption of God. He saw the lamb that was slain. He saw all the word of God fulfilled. That's what he was saying when he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He wasn't saying, I see a form standing at the right hand of what form? When no man has seen God at any time. So our understanding has to allow that the phrase sit or standing at the right hand of God and the phrase right hand of God represents something beyond what unspiritual minds see. The right hand of God represents the power of God. The right hand of God represents the knowledge and wisdom and salvation of God that is now available to deliver us. It represents, look, when you read capital L, lowercase O-R-D, all that's saying is the Lord did something. And he fulfilled what he did. He became something. He was manifested as something. Praise God. Something happened here. What changed the spelling? Praise God. What did he do? that caused the Lord to say to my Lord, sit at my right hand until, listen to the word, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Can I say it like this to you? As long as you live, I don't care what problem you go through. I don't care what hiccup comes your way. I don't care what you have to struggle with if you struggle. As long as Jesus is at the right hand of God, your enemies can become his footstool. You can overcome it. I don't care if it's mental, spiritual, physical. As long as we read, the Lord said unto my Lord, praise God, then what is against us can be subdued. Sit here until. So that means all across our entire life until the time we get really, really old, if the Lord permits. I have a promise of God until your enemies are made your footstool. That means I'm going to obey God, and if anything gets unruly, you're going to obey God. Because I've got something inside of me that has its foot on you and will not allow me to be lost as long as I remain willing in the day of his power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I can live for God. You can live for God. Listen, you can live for God. Don't ever tell the Lord you can't do this thing. You've got somebody at the right hand of God who made intercession that says, yes, you can.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, praise God. And I'm where I'm at so that you can. Amen. Hallelujah. All it's saying is that Jesus accomplished what he came to do, and the word sent returned to the one who sent him. Hallelujah. But the word came back with some accomplishments and came back having accomplished and fulfilled the word of God. And that's the difference here. And that's why we read phrases such as this. So I pray if anything you can take home today is whenever you read this verse about Jesus at the right hand of God, just whether you comprehend the depth of it or not, get excited at this level. That means I can live for God. That means I can overcome the world, because you're going to have to. Amen? I'm going to say it one more time. You're going to live life, and life's going to be exactly what life is. Sometimes it's a roller coaster ride. Sometimes it's a nice ferry ride where you can watch whales come out of the water. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And sometimes it'll drop you on your head. Sometimes it'll roll in like a bowling ball and knock all the pins down. But as long as Jesus is at the right hand of God, amen. Glory unto the Lord. I know, until thine enemies be made thy footstool. Amen. Praise God. Stay long enough to make sure they make it. Be what you have become until they make it. God has done everything he needs to do to make sure we make it. We are without excuse, right? For Romans chapter 2, he tells the saints of God, you're inexcusable, whoever you are, for being like you are. And he talks to the people of God, breaking the commandments. If you break one, you break them all. But if you come to the Lord, that enemy can be taken care of. Amen? That makes sense to you? Just it's there to see because it's the truth. It's the truth whether you comprehend the spiritual aspect of it all, how that God could be made flesh and dwelt among us and how he could do that. I don't know. Ask him when you get to heaven. Don't ask me to figure out all the details of all that. I just know that he's the only one that can overshadow a womb and put a veil over his face. As much as we can say it like that. Because that's what it was. The scripture says it was. In fact, God, the scripture says that Jesus in John chapter 2 called his body a temple. And we know Malachi prophesied that the Lord whom you seek, will suddenly come to his temple. But they couldn't see that. They could only see the building when he said, destroy this temple, in 3 days I'll raise it up. But they couldn't see that it was the temple of his body. They said 46 years it took to build this building, and you're going to tear it down in 3 days. They didn't get it. So the Lord God Almighty, the Jehovah, the one who called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and gave them promises about the promised land. The God that did all the things you read about under the first covenant was there, manifest in the flesh. That's mind-boggling. But he did it. The Lord became our Lord. Isaiah 12, the Lord has become our salvation. Why? Because he wanted to. He came to condemn sin in the flesh and save the sinner from the sin. Praise God. That's why there's no sin that's right for any group to condone. Praise God. All unrighteousness is sin. He wants to subdue every enemy under his foot. Praise God. No matter what that enemy is. And all unrighteousness, all the works of the flesh, wrath, sedition, murder, effeminacy, lying, stealing, all of it is an enemy to God. All of it. The world can condone all it wants to, but Jesus, the scripture says in Romans 8, came to condemn sin in the flesh. Amen. If you come to Jesus, you'll never find him condoning sinful living. You'll always find him condemning it in order to save you. Always, 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 the gospel is going to cause a prick in your heart. Because his intention is to deliver you and to save you and to convert an enemy into a friend. Amen. Let's love him again, shall we? Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. And listen to this. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Rule in the midst. Jesus told Pilate, we talked about this before, but I want to bring this point back just to remind everybody that this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom that is here now. It's been here in the world for a very long time. It takes people out of a world of sin. That's why we testify. We're in the world. We live in the world. We do all the things we do in the world, but we're not of the world. There's a difference between living in it and being of it, of the sinfulness of it. You can live in a sinful world sin-free. You can live in a dark world filled with light. It was read today, among whom you shine as lights, right? Whoever read 1 Peter there. Among whom you shine as lights, as unto a light in a dark place. Right? We show forth the praises of him who has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So if you want to look at it like this, oh, please keep me under your foot. I want to be there. Praise God. It's the happiest place to be the footstool of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. If you understand what it's saying, praise God. What's the song say? Things over my head or under his feet? If you're a child of God, there may be a lot of things in life that are bigger than you are, but they're never bigger than he is. And if you are truly somebody that has come to God, we were once darkness, but now light in the Lord, you're in a good place. You're in a place that can overcome anything. Anything. Your trouble doesn't bump him off of the right hand of God. Praise the Lord. Please understand that. You don't stop him from being the mediator of the new covenant because your life is upside down. You just need to recognize the fact that he is who he is, as we've already said. That's never going to change, and that's my hope. That's my hope. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. I want to read a verse here in 1 Corinthians 9. Rule in the midst of your enemies. How does he do that? How does Jesus sneak his way into the human race and rule? Yeah, in every single kingdom. He's not a physical king on a physical throne trying to war against Russia and China and all the delinquents over there that seemingly don't understand the human race that caught somewhere 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. I don't know what's in some of their minds. They're delinquents, though. I don't know if it's too cold in Russia, too hot in China. I don't know. But you think with all this humanity advancement, somebody would wake up and realize that this is not the right way to do it. But you know what? Delinquents. But yet, in the middle of all of that, no matter how they run their countries, whether they're communist or free, Jesus can rule anywhere. Pray, they don't kick him out of the country. Some may worship in secret. They don't kick him out. Nobody has the power to remove, amen, the redemption that has come nigh to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He hasn't stopped being Jesus because he knows I did what I did so I can get in their soul and start doing some serious ruling. Scripture teaches that we rule with him in righteousness. Amen. I love the word of God, don't you? Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. We read at the end of the night, right? He prepared a table before us in what? The presence of our enemies. This is powerful. And I think this is what probably really helped Simon, one of the apostles, stop being a zealot. Because life is filled with enough delinquents. He didn't need to be one of them just because he hated the Roman Empire. Praise God. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. That revelation that people are being converted unto God and they're no longer enemies, that he can go anywhere, even in the Roman Empire, even into Caesar's palace and convert some of his peeps. Right. Praise God. How powerful is that? The most idolatrous nation filled with all sorts of idolatries and temples to all sorts of stupid gods, and yet the gospel walks into the palace. Amen. And converts some of them. Yes, you can't hide Jesus. He knows how to go anywhere and anytime and subdue his enemies under his feet. You can't stop him. You can't stop him. He's at the right hand of God. You can't stop the Lord. And he just says, preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because that Savior that's at the right hand, the Lord that sent unto my Lord, is fixing to release himself and do all sorts of Jesus stuff. We don't quite see it like that sometimes. We don't see that the gospel is on the offense. The gospel's design is to infiltrate. Not in a wrong way, but the gospel is, look, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. I'm finishing. Hope I haven't lost anyone. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So God knows no matter who you are, where you are, if the gospel is preached and you believe the gospel and you're willing to obey the gospel, he can convert your soul, even if you're in the midst of a communist country, where they want to give you their own version of Jesus. Hey, look, America's got their own version of Jesus, too. We can't pick on China or North Korea or some parts in Africa or in South America. We can't do it. America is in big trouble because they're a bunch of delinquents, too. They got delinquent leaders. They got people who believe delinquent doctrines. They're teaching stupid stuff, and they're going all sorts of ways that are not of God. What needs to happen is we need to just let the gospel rise up again and do some serious subduing. Yeah. Amen. They need to see a big foot coming at them. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hey, White House, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? We just need to become children of the Most High God. Right. Praise God. That's how he takes care of the enemies. Yes, until I make your enemies your footstool. I hope I'm trying to convey this in a way so that you don't just look at it and maybe previous ways that you looked at about what enemies are. That means my whole life, he'll keep me as what I should be. Until I make your enemies your footstool. 1 Corinthians 9. Maybe that's not the way it's always preached. Maybe some people are so ticked about things happening in life that they want to posture everybody as enemies. And that's true, they are. There's a lot of wicked people that want to take away your liberties, religious freedoms, and yet they shoot stones at the other group and say, no, they're the ones that are doing it. No, they are. Liars like to call other people liars and not show that they're liars. You see it all the way. I don't care what political group you assign yourself to. They're both delinquents. They need Jesus. Every one of them needs Jesus. They need to get under his feet, praise God, real quick before they continue to ruin this thing and just drop us into the ocean. Now, you don't like what I said? Too bad. We're tired of listening to these delinquents and all their nonsense. Amen. We've got a Savior that we're going to serve and continue to serve. And no matter how delinquent they all are, we're going to focus on until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Let's see one more child of God come to God. Amen. We can't fix them, but the gospel can fix one more that's willing in the day of his power. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. This is the glory maybe of the four of you if you feel up to singing a song here while we worship and call upon God. But I want to read a verse here. I didn't say anything to be political because I don't want to give them too much time. I'm just saying the world is what the world is. But 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. See, this is where I feel I can read Psalm 110 and receive it better than trying to interpret in a way I shouldn't. I'm not worried about Jesus being able to subdue kingdoms under his feet. He's already done it, and he'll do it. His gospel can walk into anybody's presidential palace and just overtake it. There's not a kingdom or a king or a president or an ambassador that's higher than him or that has a name greater than his. Calvary and the resurrection did a whole lot more than just our redemption. He put a whole lot of things under him. So I'm not worried about the kingdoms of this world. They're in his hands. And he showed that to Nebuchadnezzar when he took his mind away and sent him out to eat grass with the donkeys. It said, when you come back, you tell the world who God is. And when his sense came back into him and they clipped his nails and cleaned him up, the scripture says the Lord allowed him to walk back into his palace, sit on his throne, and he said, I just want to let this huge kingdom know that the Lord God Almighty, things over my head, they're all under his feet. Hallelujah. And he rules in the kingdom of men. Praise God. So, without fighting the world all the time about all of this, just stay in the prayer room. Make sure you're now light in the Lord. Amen. You were, but you're not now. So just stay not now. I read this, but I keep under my body. Because when Christ is in you, Christ is in you to rule in you in the midst of your enemies. Even if you become one here and there. But even if you're not and you're okay with God, then Christ is in you. Rule thou in the midst of your enemies. That's why you can be in the midst of some tough things, some ungodly people. And as long as Jesus is ruling there, you're going to be all right. As long as he's where he's supposed to be, rule thou in the midst. I'll always have a table prepared for me. In the midst. And I don't have to be afraid of being in the midst, as we kind of talked about some time ago. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So I just wanted to read that verse to say, you have what it takes to keep yourself where you're supposed to be. Praise God. I keep under my body. I bring myself into subjection. I become willing in the day of his power. Say, God, I want to be everything you want me to be. And there's not a single thing that can stop me or you. Amen? Let's love him today. Amen.